4, 3, 2, that's 9.
That's 9.
Bust into the face, that's 9.
He's dead.
Snap his neck in half, like a bundle of sticks. Account of manslaughter.
So here we go. The episode is about to begin. Prepare yourself for an all new and exciting episode.
Woo!
And by all new, I mean fresh and new, and I'm playing this instead of uploading the other episode because I did not do it in time.
Well,
I apologize. I'm going to ramble. Here we go. I'm going to try and do as much of this scenario without looking at the scenario book as I can to challenge myself mentally.
Where they go?
Physically.
All right. I recognize your challenge. I'm going to try to do as much of this scenario without listening to the Skype call as I can.
Steven just begins making rolls.
It's a one-man show with two other men doing a separate show at the same time.
The scenario opens. Hello, everybody.
Hey, I didn't see you there.
I have to know what to say. Where's my context?
I think we established the scene. We're in our artisanal pugilism class.
Yep. We're walking in. I'm trying to get you to understand the correct pronunciation of this word. Hello, everyone.
The two of you become firm friends. Over the pugilism class. I forgot, is there any kind of detective role among you, like, ask for that to happen? That just not happen?
Yeah, with Wilhelm.
Yeah, sure, Wilhelm.
Okay. Here we go. Scene is about to be announced.
Okay.
It's night.
Like 7 o'clock at night?
7 o'clock at night. Precisely 7 o'clock at night. The
clock. 54.
Yeah, it's because your watch is off, Wilhelm. Bill.
It's hard to keep this thing timed right when you're getting in as many outrageous fistfights as I am.
Yeah. I'm gonna look at the scenario handbook.
No, keep going. You can do this.
Okay. All right. Okay. Right. The phone rings.
The phone fucking where ring?
You're in Wilhelm's house. His beautiful, luxurious Manhattan apartment.
Thanks for inviting me over for some sweet, sweet shandy. I love this year. What year is it?
I don't know.
The year is 1922.
Ah, it's one of those old new wines brewed just 2 weeks ago. I think these are very underappreciated. What? The phone's ringing.
It's prohibition. Wine is illegal.
I can't believe they caught onto us so quickly. Don't answer. Don't pick up. We're not home.
All right. We won't answer the phone.
The men in blue.
You suspect that the wine may contain traces of formaldehyde. However, this does not deter you from drinking it.
Hold on. Maybe we should call. Maybe it's someone. Maybe we should pick up. Maybe it's someone with more wine.
It's important they'll call back.
Be like your big break. Aren't you an actor or something?
I think I'm a boxer.
Yeah, you could be being booked for a fight. You gotta pick up. If it's the cops, then you just pretend you don't speak English.
All right. Bonjour, I say, answering, picking up the phone.
Good.
Is this Wilhelm Raleigh?
Manuel.
Is it the cops?
I'm sorry, it must be my mistake. Is there a Wilhelm Raleigh at this residence?
In the moment. And, I hang up the phone.
So it was the cops? Or she ditched the wine?
No, it wasn't the cops. Let's go back to drinking.
Oh, okay. Man. You know, it's the illicit thrill that really makes the wine taste great. I mean,
I know, right?
I really wish I could get my hands on one of those like 1870s vintages, though. Have you ever had? Yeah,
I probably should have just answered that phone normally, you know.
Well, okay. So why were you doing that, French boys?
Well, you said if it was the cops, pretend I didn't speak English, right?
You said it wasn't the cops.
Yeah, but I'd opened with bonjour and I had to follow through. I committed.
Well, you know what? This is why I respect you. You commit. You commit to a role.
I really do. If it's important, they'll call back.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we drink the night away.
Time passes. Oh, the morning comes.
The sailors were Are we still in Wilhelm's house?
Yes.
So I stayed over.
Yeah.
Thank you. I can't imagine I could have passed off as sober. Oh, what happened last night?
You're out of eggs.
Who said that?
That was me. Sorry.
Quieter. Just, we're out of eggs. What do you mean you're out of eggs? A house should never be without eggs. It's an affront to the American dream.
Listen, I'm
you
pretty
can
sure
use them all because we had eggs. Do a coffee type regime where you drink the raw eggs.
Yeah, we had eggs when we started drinking. I was sure, but
is that why the kitchen smells so rancid?
There's a thin layer of eggshell on coating all the floors. Yes.
I guess it was a pretty good night last night. You don't have any more anything? My head feels like two carpenters are building something inside it.
I have 6 more bottles. Let's just stay here and drink for the next 6 hours of in-game time.
You know, all right, 2 days. Not 3, though. I knew a guy, he was in one of my, classes. Just give the bottle here.
Okay. I roll it across the floor.
I try and pick it up. Do I succeed?
Give me a deck times 5 roll.
The chair is great that we can just stand and drink.
Well,
we
yeah.
That's any other commitments or
shit! Wait, hold on. Keeper, what is Alex Ragden's work schedule?
Today is currently a Saturday. He does not have work.
Oh, just gonna sit down on the floor and then get right back up. I've got egg all over my pants.
You work a fairly standard Monday or Friday.
Also, I got a 5 for my next time is 5, so I think I've wound up with the bottle of wine in my hand without really recalling picking it up. Wait. Okay.
Also, I think yours is better.
I rolled wrong. This was a 1d6. I won 100. Got an 85. I thought I had the wine in my hand. It was a bottle of soy sauce.
So it was my bad. I'm going to pass this bad dice roll off on me.
I just start laughing hysterically, and I say, this is LaJoy's!
Well, let's just stay here and keep drinking in case that guy wants the phone back. I don't want to miss it a second time.
We can tell him how great of a vintage 1919 LaJoy's is.
I'm sure.
The phone rings.
That's him!
Okay, let's both hand. Both answer this together. Okay,
no,
I'm gonna
answer.
Hold it up.
I'm gonna sit here and die.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, this is Franklin Quincy calling. I'm here to speak to Mr. Wilhelm Raleigh. Is this the right number?
Yes, it would be. One moment, I'll put him on.
Excellent.
Hey, the phone's for you.
Oh, okay. Hello?
I'm not sure why I'm doing this. I guess I'm still drunk.
Mr. Raleigh, I have an important business a deal for you. I would like to meet to discuss this this matter.
What's he saying?
Alex Ragden, having missed the bit about where he was called Raleigh at the beginning due to the ringing in his ears, has his eyes snap open at the mentions of a big business deal. And he whispers, "Get me some coffee." He whispers, "Get me some," and then he covers up the phone receiver and says, "Get me some coffee, I need to sober up. It's my big break."
Oh man, I thought they were looking for me, but maybe, okay. I fetch you coffee.
Sorry about that. Bad, connection. You were saying something about a big business deal.
That's perfectly fine, yes. You see, it's rather a personal, matter, but, one of my, I'm an occultist, collector of rare books, collector of rare books, and, I've recently lost, one of my properties, I believe has been stolen, by a young gentleman. I was just wondering if we could perhaps meet up and discuss this, I'd like to employ you in order to, have this item returned to me.
That's an interesting proposition you make. Hold on a moment. I need to check my schedule. I put my hand over the phone and I go, "Tackle."
Right.
This is the best job I've ever heard of in my life. This guy, he's a cultist, he probably read my paper, and he wants me to go find a lost book for him. Yeah, introductory job, right? We're gonna become book partners, I can feel it, Will!
I have no interest in books, but, I mean...
Yeah.
Alright there, yeah, you can head this one up.
Gonna be huge! Now you gotta come with.
Alright, we're out of eggs here anyways.
Yeah, great. Alright, Oh! I uncover the phone thing. Hello? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
It looks like you're in luck. My schedule is open. And, I have a very passionate interest in both the occult and all things of the written language. I would be happy to help you out and, establish some kind of, professional relationship in any way that I could. When would you like to meet? When and where?
Excellent.
Hold on, let me get something to write it with. Okay, I got it.
Yes, it's Sunday tomorrow, so, shall we say about, 4 o'clock, at, this address. You can see the address.
Ah, Chester Sugarbear Street. I love that place.
Yes, I'm quite fond of it myself. It's certainly generally a lovely place. Haven't done any particular trouble, but of course you can never be too careful.
Ne'er-do-wells respect no culture, creed, or social boundary. The impulse to do evil lies at the heart of all men.
As I've certainly found out. To my shame, but I have no doubt that you will be able to help. You've come highly recommended, so yes, it will be a pleasure to do business with you. I'll see you tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
All right. I didn't catch your name, sir.
Oh, Franklin Quincy.
Franklin Quincy. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Quincy. I will be there promptly at 4 a.m., maybe even 3:56.
4 o'clock p.m., post-meridian.
Oh, yeah, sorry, of course. I'll see you then. Thank you very much for thinking of me.
Excellent. All right. Have a good day.
And then I look up at Wilhelm and I say, "How do you suppose he knew I was here?"
I thought it was probably a cop. They could have been scaling us.
Did you give me the cup? No, it can't have been a cop. It wouldn't. No. Alright. We need to get prepared for detective work. Come on, we need to go buy supplies.
Eat, like, eggs?
Yes, that too. Alright, now, I have ideas.
I mean, I have a hunting cap over here.
It's good. It's good. Do you have a couple of trench coats? I have a trench coat back home. What am I saying?
I have a trench coat too, so I mean, we're pretty set. What else?
Let's meet up tonight for dinner and we'll compare outfits.
Okay. And then we'll come back here and finish off this last bottle.
No.
Yeah, we have to drink the evidence.
I shall not partake. I need my mind to be sharp so that I can see every detail of the crime scene and understand the subtle flows of human intent that leave their mark upon the physical world.
Well, it's pretty deep. Normally when I'm doing detective work, I just punch things for people.
Well, good luck with it.
It's not so much detecting as,
And then I say, wait, that's right, you're a real detective!
Well, it's easier to sound legitimate doing than fist for hire.
Yeah, but you gotta have some experience, right? What kind of things should we bring? How should I give you more reason for you to come along? Alright, where do I start? Teach me. Oh, teacher Wilhelm.
Okay, usually I bring lots of rolls of gauze for the knuckles.
Rolls of gauze.
Maybe some like a slice of orange to bite down on.
All right.
You have to have a good pair of boots if you don't for the kicking.
Okay, boots, yes. Also, keep out the water. Been meaning to replace these boots.
Yeah. What else?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make rent this month buying all this stuff, but...
Well,
what
am
I saying? When I get done with this job, I'll be rich and famous.
Yeah.
Money's a no object. All right.
I mean, that's about it, really. Bring your fists.
Fantastic.
I assume if he was looking for me, he just wants something punched, so...
Keeper, can we say that my character buys a trench coat, a flat cap, a pipe, a bunch of pipe weed, a bunch of rolls of gauze, a couple oranges that he slices, and a pair of thick, heavy boots?
Yes, that certainly is now in your possession.
Fantastic.
Wilhelm, would you like to buy anything?
Oh, I have all that already. I buy eggs.
Okay.
I make sure to buy the same brand that Wilhelm does so that we can be a matching pair and give a sense of parallel structures, strength.
Oh, you have to represent yourself as me. We've committed to this.
Wait, what?
I think the man on the phone was looking for me, and I think he thinks you're me. Okay, this is what we have to do. He'll surely have my description.
I'm just gonna slump in my chair for a bit. Go on.
No. Okay. No, I'm sure he was looking for me, but he's come around to you. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
You were talking excitedly about books and stuff. I would have just hung up on him.
No.
Fate's setting this one up for you, bucko. I bop him on the shoulder.
Wilhelm, this is why we're friends. You're a constant, you're a font of, energy.
Is fonts, that's one of your book things, right?
Yeah, it's an ancient Greek, it's a Greek-stemmed word, maybe it's French. It's a word, it means fountain, it represents the springing forth of the human, I think it's like a romantic term.
Oh, see, that's how little I know about these things. I thought it was like a typeface.
All right. Well,
We can do this then. Let's go to Winchester's Citadel.
I don't know how to get there.
I actually wrote it down. Chester Bertershire Street.
I've never been to Chester Bertershire Street.
I'll have to show you the strudel shop there. It's delicious. The shop is. Alright, I think we're ready to go there and wait.
You go there. There's an intercom. You're buzzed up.
What's the place look like?
It's like an apartment, building. It's in a block of, flats. It's kind of grey, it's nice-ish up until, you get into it, and then it's just sort of, it's not cheap, but it's just sort of, average.
I hope my big break would have come in, something like a mansion, like a big stone building.
Maybe this is like his spare house where he has meetings and stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, that's probably it. Okay.
Ah. Yeah. It's kind of a high rise. You go, you notice that he's up on, near the top floor.
So you How many floors up. Are there?
5.
Oh. Oh, that's fine then.
Some people say the 4th.
Oh. That's
where he is. Yeah, no, I get you. Because some people say the ground floor is floor 1. Some people say floor 2 is floor 1.
So depending on whether or not you agree with that, it's either on the 4th floor or the 3rd floor.
Depends on whether your buildings are indexed by 0.
Yeah. or if you're working in Fortran.
Yes.
Because we established last week that Fortran indexes from 1. Everyone's learning about programming today.
Not me.
We'll dodge that bullet.
Roll for dodge.
Your edu decreases correspondingly.
I even actively learned bad things because on an episode of Silicon Valley, they did a thing on Scrum, and it turns out that it was not actually Scrum that they were using. So I don't know.
Well, all right. I punch on the door, but like to knock.
Okay. Yeah. You go to the door. You knock on the door. The blows ring out. The door is opened. You can hear, first of all, before the door opens, you can hear the thud of several deadlocks. Is it deadlocks? Whatever it is, those bolt things. Several bolts being unbolted on the other side of the door before it opens up with a creak. And at the other side, you're greeted by a man in his mid-40s. Looks kind of stocky. Sort of broad-shouldered. He says, Wilhelm, it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you for coming at, such short notice. And, yes, good to see you and your friend as well. So, if you care to come in, we can discuss this.
I lean in to my friend. Oh, wait, what was your name?
Alex Ragnar.
Okay, Alex, we should have worked out how to play this. He recognizes me from my description, but he's looking for your voice.
Hello, sir. There was a little bit of confusion at the start, but the thing of it is that Wilhelm here, he's sort of the...
Oh, I'm sorry. So you must be Mr. Wilhelm. Sorry, well, I'm up.
That's the thing. We're sort of a team, and Wilhelm's the face of the operation. When people usually call, they call Wilhelm's number, and it's more of like a business name than anything. I am Alex Ragnar, at your service. And all the things it's all the same as before, just a, it's all the same, just a different name, huh?
Yeah, good job, good job. Pat him on the shoulder.
I'll roll for my 18 appearance, please.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, give me an appearance, roll. Or charisma.
I got a 40.
So that's a pass, right?
Probably. What kind? Was I doing an appearance times a modifier? Or am I?
Yeah, times five. Just five.
Oh, yeah. And then definitely a pass.
Can I roll for my size?
No.
To fit through the doorway. Without hitting my head.
No.
Well, that's, okay. That's all he saw was you in the doorway. And then you came in a bit, and he was like, oh, the second person here.
Yes, so as I said before, just come in and sit down, make yourself comfortable. Would you like a drink?
Yes, please.
What year is it?
We'd like waters. Or, actually, do you have any, Earl Grey tea?
Do you have any eggs?
Relax, it's fine. Just, if you want anything, stronger, I've got some whiskey over here, but, if you do just want a water, I'll go get some.
I want
it. We're all adults here. He goes and makes some water.
He has him if he's a cop.
He still might be a cop. This could be entrapment. I don't know laws.
I don't either. Can you ask a cop whether he's a cop?
I don't know. Well, let's just play it cool. Let's just play it cool. Let's just play it cool.
No thanks, old chap. I need to keep my mind sharp, clear, like a crisp spring morning to, see all the subtle clues and hints of a case.
And I'm allergic to alcohol. It makes me feel lightheaded.
Well, suit yourself. I hope you don't mind if I have a bit of a drink now. So take a seat, and I'll be right through.
No problem.
You see, he pours himself a measure of whiskey and brings the two glasses of water. Through, sets them down beside the two of you.
I asked for a
seat in an opposing chair.
I'll sip this water. How much does this water taste like tea?
It doesn't taste like tea.
It's alright. Like it's pure, it's clean. We're gonna go to the future.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want tea?
Tea? What's tea? No, I love water.
No, I'm sorry. I thought... I my mind's been all over the place. What with this robbery?
Tell us about this theft. It must have been very upsetting.
Well, you see, this gentleman came in. Who's been a local student. He was asking me for this. This book, the Scripture of Shul. I've got a copy. Well, I had a copy. It's a very rare book.
Do I know anything about the history of Shul Keeper?
Give me a history roll, I guess.
Oh, well, that's probably not going to work. But all right, let's give it a shot. Where's my character sheet? Where'd it go?
Did you say history of Shul or Scripture of Shul?
Scripture.
Okay. And how do you spell Shul? Because I've taken three stabs at it, and I'm not liking any of them.
S-H-U-L.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Failed my history roll.
Oh, well.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Well, it's rather off the beaten path, I suppose, of typical literature.
It sounds fascinating.
Well, it's an account by this man purporting himself to be 3,000 years old. various accounts of the ancient city of Mu, Hyperborea, lost civilizations.
Do I recognize any of these terms?
Give me another history roll, I guess.
I made this one.
Yeah, they are sort of typical lost cities, or ancient kind of places. Maybe it's kind of like, perhaps maybe the sort of basis for Atlantis, that kind of thing, kind of around that kind of time. It's, you know.
Okay, alright.
I don't have any points in history, but on a lark, I took a roll and I passed.
Then you also, think of that kind of knowledge. And also, I don't want to look at the book because I know there is also a third place, but I'm not looking at the book, so I'm not getting there.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating. Yes, I've read a few things about the ancient city of Mu and the various other dark
and subjects. And Hyperborea.
Yes, Hyperborea.
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 I do
it's,
that.
It's sort of the continent. Well, actually, I shouldn't be using this voice, but... the King Conan, that kind of
thing.
I love those stories.
And this was, Dreams of Shul?
The Scripture of Shul. Yes, so he came in asking to see about the book. It was, rather a difficult, request because the man was, very agitated. I didn't want to fulfill it he seemed like a strange gentleman and he wouldn't take no for an answer. Then all of a sudden, as I was trying to get him to leave, my legs buckled out from under me.
Gracious.
I know it was I think he must have drugged my whiskey while I wasn't looking.
Fiend!
And next thing you know, I wake up, there he's gone with the book, missing and all. So...
How long ago was this?
This would be just a couple of days ago. This is the Sunday now, so, last Thursday.
I don't know why you didn't went by the name of, it would have been.
He went by the name of Ethan Blaine.
Ethan Blaine. Oh, I was going to have to go through a large amount of investigative procedure to find that out from the various traces he left in the apartment. But he, Ethan,
I've actually got a sketch of him that I drew. I tried after the incident. I figured that it might be best to, while my memory was still fresh, have a go at capturing the likeness for the sake of the authorities. But
well, and obviously you have an artistic bent, so I'm sure it was an exquisite likeness. Couldn't help but make it.
I do dabble. Anyway, I've got that here.
Does it look any good, Keeper?
It's a man with, kind of reddish hair, striking distinguished features, kind of an angular face.
Looks aristocratic to me.
Pointed.
What do you think, Wilhelm?
Do I recognize him?
Give me a squadron, I guess.
Alright, I don't pass that. Can I punch the paper? Because that's what I put my points on. No, I don't recognize him or anything. Okay. Oh, that looks like, Ethan Blaine.
Alright, so it's been, 3 days. 3 days?
Yes, I suppose so. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Alright, well, I think we'll have more questions for you soon, but I believe the first thing to do, and goodness, you really should have called us Thursday, but we need to case the scene. So, sir, don't move, and we will track every square centimeter of this apartment and look for clues.
Okay.
I guess Wilhelm, you start there, yeah, in that corner.
Okay. And, I guess I'll sure, you're the boss this time. I mean, Alex. I would just like walk around with that picture until I saw something what looked like it and punch it. But I mean, we could try this. We could try it your way.
Well, what? I don't want to infringe on your methods, but
This is your thing. All right. Books.
We do this, and then after this, we do the punch thing.
Right. Okay. You said he was a student. How did you know that? Did he just look student aged, or did he say where he was studying?
Like you say, it's just an educated guess. He was that kind of age. It seemed like he'd been studying occult literature. Obviously, he must have been, otherwise he wouldn't have heard of scripture of Shul. So,
All right.
Like I say, it's not exactly the sort of book you just come across in the library, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So when you presumed he was a student, you say that was just an education guess?
I don't even think that's worth clapping about. I don't know what your friend's doing over there, but...
No, I think that's it's one of his many varied and entirely operable... detective practices.
Right, you are.
So, Keeper, how long does it take to run the room, and what do we find from it?
I make sure at one point to walk around the room just clapping in various locations and then nodding, like I'm considering something.
The acoustics in this room, I don't think they could knock a person out. Or it can't have been in here. Anyway, yeah. How long does it take? Do I find anything?
You can see there's a painting on one of the walls of various human figures with canine heads.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
That appear to be chewing at flesh.
Is this your painting, sir?
No, that's a Pikmin that I picked up. He's very good. He's quite an up and comer in the art scene. Like you might imagine, art's sort of one of my hobbies on the side, as well as the whole, the book collecting deal, as you can see by all these bookcases around here. Quite a valuable,
collection. One of the classic artists.
You have multiple bookcases? I thought you were just hiring us for the one thing. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking more jobs.
I'll leave this here. If you want me, I'll be through in the kitchen.
Alright. Well, back to tracking, back to passing the house. So we've seen the picture.
You can see there's numerous books, which to you as a librarian, you know, are very valuable. There's as well as the regular occult books like The Golden Bough, that kind of stuff.
The One.
Yeah. You can see there's also the rather more infamous books like Cult de Ghoul, De Vermis Mysteris, and Monsters and Their Kind.
This one's in English. Inferior.
It's technically spelled Monstres of their kind with a Y. That kind of...
Ah, I see. Written in some terrible, corrupted version of English.
Okay, I call through into the kitchen. Are you sure that he only took the one book? Have you checked completely thoroughly?
I've got quite a well, what's the word? A comprehensive listing, so I'm aware of which books I've got. And yes.
All right, that's okay. Good to know. Good to know. Listen, I don't think. I can see what you're thinking.
I'm not thinking any such
thing. I can see what you're thinking.
Obviously, we'll just bond over our mutual love of these marvelous texts of obscure, dangerous mysticism.
Expensive.
Yes.
Or costly? Therapy.
Both of those things. I'll trace my fingers longingly over the binding of one of them and as I move on to the next piece.
Okay, you look around, he's got a lot of expensive books. The guy knows his books.
Oh my god, I'm in heaven.
Alright. I'm in this guy's book room.
would you like another drink?
Give me a scotch on the rocks!
And you, sir?
I'll have the tea he asked for before.
Well, alright, okay. I'll get you a scotch and I'll put the kettle on.
As we drink, I say, you have an amazing taste in literature.
Well, thank you. It is my job to procure these items and to keep them here, sell them on it's a nice collection just to have anyway.
Yes, I imagine. Do you ever come across some pieces in the course of your work where you simply can't bear to sell them away, so you maybe purchase them yourself?
Well, yes, I suppose every some once in a while I do.
Some gems are just too rare to pass up, yes.
The scripture was one of those books. It's exceedingly rare. That one, and it is very interesting. I mean, it's all madness, of course, but,
tell me about it, though.
This chap,
there is some magic to this madness.
Claiming to be 3,000 years old. I mean, it's a nice narrative, to be honest. It's a nice narrative structure to, sort of, view the history of these lands as if you're sort of a traveller.
I heard it had third act problems.
Those do plague the writings of the modern day. But this is 3,000 years old, though.
No, the chap that wrote it claimed to be 3,000 years old. He said that he was sort of an immortal figure.
But how old are the scriptures?
The scriptures? I think we're talking now about 200 years old, something like that. 200, 300 years old.
Back in the days of the American Revolution. Or, no, was that the War of 1812?
Want me to roll for history?
Then
I fail completely.
Anyway, why is it called the Scriptures of Shul? Is there some sort of, you know, religion to do with them?
Well, yes, it sort of goes into various religious rites regarding his sort of his time and his knowledge gained of these civilizations, which sort of led him to believe that and it's obviously must have fed into his fantasy of a way of creating some kind of eternal life, it's all pretty ridiculous.
Well, wait, so, but he's discovered eternal life, but he's searching for something even more powerful?
And it's more just sort of like a travel and guidebook to live in 3,000 years, that kind of thing. Sort of about his time and his learning and his sort of, a lot of you should do this and, you know, and then there's various, different, invocations, it's a lot of nonsense.
Well, it's, what kind of invocations? What are they supposed to do?
Well, you'd have to read it yourself, I think. It's been a while, and I don't...
May I? When we recover it, may I? I wouldn't take it out of the apartment. I wouldn't dream. But I would be honored to read such an amazing and powerful text.
Even I'm a bit interested. I mean, I plan to live forever, but that's just because of my strict diet of eggs and vinegar. Raw eggs and vinegar.
Here's your tea,
wonders for the physique.
Here's your tea, by the way.
Thank you. Can you take this back and bring me a glass of vinegar?
Right.
I accept the team, but then I hand it off to Alex. Here you go.
Here's your scotch, sir.
Ah, thank you. Now that I have both of these, let me tell you about something that I used to call, when I was in, university, we used to call this what was it? The basement throw. Why did we call it that? Anyway, and I am going to pour the hot tea into the scotch and mix it up a bit.
Very good.
I'll sip it. Do I have to make a con roll?
Not yet, no.
All right. I'm going to try and hide my incredible disgust and say yes. Good old college days. Very bracing. But yes, once we recover this manuscript, might I have a chance to, give it a once over?
I'm not sure. I'd rather, once it's recovered, I think I'm gonna hold on to it for a bit and probably,
I wouldn't dare take it out of your home, just if I might come over to visit and maybe just read it for an hour a day, and then we could discuss it.
We'll see how the investigation goes.
Right, of course.
I can give you a list of booksellers. It's possible that he could have been trying to pull this with other people. It seemed like he was the kind of guy who... if you're just going after the scriptures, it seems like you'd probably be going after other things as well.
Well, that's an interesting question. Why didn't he take any of the rest of your books? They're all exceedingly valuable.
You'd have to ask him when you find him.
I think he had a particular reason for taking this one.
Well, the scripture of Shul is a very rare book, and I'm the only person that I know that's managed to get a copy of one, as you'll see on these booksellers. Perhaps you could go around and ask if any of them have been contacted by anyone looking for the scriptures who might have pointed them in my direction.
Had you made it public that you had the book, what circles would you have to be moving in to know about you and your collections?
Well, like I said, these booksellers here on this list, other occultists, in my sort of circle, they must have pointed him in this direction.
Oh, so you want us to go ask around with your friends if your friends have seen this guy?
Well, I wouldn't particularly call them my friends, but,
Okay.
I'm not going to do your job for you.
I
imagine you would have asked them. Fine.
But why would someone steal the scriptures of Shul? That's the question we need to answer.
Well, we can ask that when we get to them.
We need to answer. We need to... It's detective work! All right. Booksellers, yes.
I was only hired to detect him. I don't need to detect motive or anything.
But we need to... Court case. All right. Ethan Blaine, possible. Well, look, I'm going to just mark down possible cultist as a possibility because as a professional.
Well, yes, you do get the kind of the weird fanatics, especially after a document like the scriptures. You get those people dabbling in black magic and those nut jobs, and then you get people that are on the other extreme, those religious people that think that it's some sort of unholy abomination and try and destroy it. It's always the case with the cult books. You should see the kind of stuff we have to put over, even with minor stuff like the Golden Bow. Oh goodness, you know what I mean? Well, as in that Aleister Crowley. Well, Aleister Crowley.
I can imagine he wouldn't have taken that.
I know exactly what you mean.
It's you're putting up with it on all sides. You know, people that believe it for one reason and people that believe it for the other, you know.
So it might have been a cultist then.
Well,
And I'm back.
I wouldn't put it past them, no, but, or it could have just been someone looking for the value of the book. It is a very valuable book.
Alright. So, Ethan Blaine, probable student, you thought he was, possible cultist, might
possible
be
possible religious sell. Fanatic.
I guess maybe he might be trying to sell. Oh. Look, if he's a religious fanatic, I'll deal with that when the time comes to it.
Did he look churchy?
Well, you judge for yourself. He didn't seem churchy when he was drugging my drink, but...
Well, you never know with these book-burning types.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I've beefed up security, you know. I've put the bolts on the door. I'm not going to have that kind of nonsense again.
Alright. Any other information for us? Remember, every little clue is still a clue.
You could probably work on that. Probably flow better. Is that going to be your catchphrase?
Yeah, I'm switching over from my old catchphrase, which I shan't say here because I'm trying to bury it. This is my new one. It's a little bit unpolished at the moment. All right, I'm working.
That's fine. That's fine. It's your first. It's. Did you hear me say it was his first day?
I did. Well, it is, but I don't. Yes. It is.
Yeah, it's
you
his first.
You surprised
day.
Me.
It's not my first day, Mister.
It's not his first day. It was a test.
Yes. No. It's my first day with my new catchphrase.
Whatever you say.
Do you have any other?
What he says is catchphrase.
That my day does.
So I suppose now we better negotiate a fee. How does?
Yes. Wilhelm will handle this. He always handles the administrative side of things.
Shall we say? $70 each. For the return of the book.
I lean into Alex. How much is that book worth? Like, total cost?
Probably about... $150,000. Remember, these are dollars of this year, which is 1920.
Yes. I'm a bit out of touch of the value of money.
Yes, I know, right?
In this year of our American Lord, 1920.
It's so hard to pay attention to prices.
Like, I know.
We go to so many writing events, and I go to those, and you go to Tybo, I mean, artisanal pugilism, and so do I, and everywhere has
artisanal?
Prices. Yes. Oh. No, but give
me I mostly just buy eggs and vinegar, and honestly, it's skewing my conceptions of value. This market-driven society.
Well, I don't know. If we charge too much, he won't be my friend. I can't believe I just said that.
Okay, $80 for me, $70 for my friend.
Yeah, that sounds perfectly reasonable. I'll give you, shall we say, $30 now each, and the rest upon acquiring the book.
We could have gone a lot higher.
Oh, don't worry. There's lots more where this comes from. Nah, thank you, sir. And don't worry, we'll have that book back to you before you can say Jack Robinson.
That sounds very good to hear. I'll just leave with you my telephone number. So get in touch if you hear any more. Yeah, if you have any questions, let me know, and have a good day.
You have a good day as well.
I'll try.
Mm.
He sits and drinks some more.
He's not going to show us out?
He points in the direction of the door.
Can I walk currently, having belted down this scotch?
Give me a contact 5.
That might not make it. Let's see, con times 5 is 80. Whew! Alright, made it.
Okay.
Okay. Let's walk and or stumble out, I guess.
Okay.
I can't think of any way to get more money out of him.
Well... No.
Put that on the back burner for now, though.
All right, now.
So we have. Do we have the photo or the drawing?
Yes.
Yeah, he's giving you the sketch and the list of booksellers.
All right, now let's do your method with the pictures and the punching.
Let's just. What's the nearest school?
What is the nearest school, Keeper?
University or college-wise.
Let's say that this is Arkham and the nearest is Miskatonic University.
It's Miskatonic University.
Let's go there.
Alright. Lead the way. You are the detective.
Yes, let's sally forth. I stop the first person we meet on the street and ask where Miskatonic University is.
Also, my dog is dreaming. I don't know if you can hear that.
You ask a dog where Miskatonic University is. It goes woof and leads you there. And then it becomes your friend, shows you to its dog spaceship. You go up to fight the cats of Ulthar.
You gain directions to Miskatonic University. You ask around with the sketches, and nobody seems to recognize it.
Even in, like, the library staff, he hasn't come here looking for books.
Even in, like, the library staff.
Oh, wow.
Actually, no, wait, I'll rip this. In the library staff, you do get, some people, so he's seems like he's come in and then he's had a look around Then he's left disappointed.
Right, just the one time he hasn't come back.
He's been in there a couple times, and then just...
Any times recently?
I'll say about a month ago to about a couple of weeks ago, as in like a couple, maybe three times within the last month.
Oh, okay. So not super frequently. All right. Well, as always, I never learned anything in a university. Where do we go next?
I guess... well, was there punching?
No, not this time.
Well, all right. So he wasn't looking for any occult books. I guess we already knew that. He was just looking for this one.
Well, we don't know that completely.
Well, it's the only one he took.
And yeah, but hey, maybe the...
Now that we're out of his room, what's that guy's name?
Good question.
Oh, no!
Farnsworth? I have no idea.
What have we done?
We have his phone number.
That's true. We can look it up, maybe.
Phone? All right. Okay, wait. Where's the nearest phone?
There's a payphone on the street.
Okay, I go to the phone and I ring up the number he gave us.
You have to have some quarters.
Do I have quarters? Quarters.
Do you have? That's the question I'm asking you. Do you have quarters?
Is it quarters in the 1920s money? I don't know. It sounds like...
Well, you just got $30.
Yeah, okay. Did he pay me in quarters? That was the question. What, do I have to roll for quarters?
No, I'm just asking you in character. Do you think your character would have quarters with
him?
I
have two rolls of quarters that I use when I punch things.
That's okay.
Exactly what I was thinking.
You deplete the quarters by one, the value of one quarter.
Alright.
The quarter, two rolls of quarters are now worth exactly 25 cents less.
The phone rings. The phone is picked up. Hello?
Aren't you going to introduce yourself? Isn't that normally what people do when they pick up a phone?
Wilhelm. Yeah, good to hear from you. So have you heard anything about the case?
Sorry, can we restart this on a more formal foot in which you say your name than I say my name?
Click.
Wow. Okay, I'm billing him that quarter. Also, I don't know his name yet.
What? Did you try and call him?
I thought it would work.
Well,
I mean, maybe I didn't say my name when I first picked up the phone when he called me, but...
Alright, that's, okay, that's... it's a good try. All right, he was just looking for... I guess we talked to the booksellers? I really have no idea.
Yeah, let's go talk to a bookseller.
And then maybe one of my old professors.
Oh, never learned anything on campus.
there are four booksellers, and then the information he gave us? Keeper?
Yeah, we'll say four booksellers.
Okay, right. We go to the nearest bookseller.
Half-price books.
Well, it's mostly phone numbers, because they don't have actual bookstores. It's sort of like he was there in an apartment, so they built up houses. One of them is a bookstore.
That's a lot of quarters.
All right, let's call both. Let's do this quick. We'll both call one.
Let's go to the one that's an actual store, and while we're there, we'll ask them if we can make a quick call. And then we'll call their rivals from within their store.
That's brilliant!
We save three quarters.
Hey, every penny saved.
But we still bill them to him as expenses. I forgot to ask if he was covering expenses.
Well, I don't see why we can't benefit by our own thrift very well. So, yeah, I guess we're going to the one that's an actual location.
It's a bookstore. It's called The Reign of Stars.
Reign of Stars.
Hey, do you have a car?
Is it enchanting? Wait, what? Oh, are we outside? Keeper, are we outside of the bookstore now?
No, just giving me the name of the place.
Hey, do you have a car?
Of course I don't have a car.
I don't have a car.
Well, can we walk?
Can we take public transit?
There's also public transit, yeah.
We'll get on the trolley.
Okay. You get on the tram? Or trolley?
Ring goes the trolley.
Do I see Ethan laying on the trolley?
You make a note by the sketches. You have a look at each individual passenger in turn. It appears that he's not on this particular bus.
I thought that'd work.
Well, in the movies, it is always that the suspect is, like, sitting right behind the detective. When they're on
behind me.
Public transit.
Man, I hate public transit. They're just not built for someone my size.
What an amazing trolley ride! Are we at the bookstore?
You lose more quarters paying for the transit.
I was just gonna hop it.
That was like two. No, Will, are you kidding? In the 1950s, a hot dog was 5 cents. I'm pretty sure this transit is a penny.
I doubt that in my scenario.
Man.
Great.
It's Arkham. Arkham's very expensive.
Sure it is. Why wouldn't Arkham be expensive? It has those features that make things expensive. Like protagonists.
Well, I don't object to paying quarters for things, because as I said, I have no sense of the current economic climate. Yeah, I only purchase eggs and vinegar.
I suppose that goes for Alex Ragdon, too.
Okay, you exit the bus, or trolley. You walk from the stop to the entrance to the shop.
Could I jog?
You could.
Well, I mean, I feel it would be in my character to jog.
You jog if you want.
I'm just saying that your narration is stifling my character growth.
I'm going to try and keep up with Wilhelm's jogging.
What's your respective dexterities?
11.
12.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, you find it pretty easy to keep up.
But I have size 17, so I have very long legs.
Yeah, but you're also just enormous, so the inertia means it take a really long time to get going.
Yeah, but then, okay.
And then a longer time to stop.
You overshoot the bookshop.
I slam into the front doors of the bookstore.
One of the window panes in the door cracks.
No.
Well, we're off to a bad start.
It was like that when I got here. I look around. Did anyone see?
It's called the Reign of
Stars. Inside the shop, you can see there's an elderly man perusing books who looks over at you.
I yell, "Hey, get back here, kid!" Oh, man, kids these days throwing stones at windows. I enter the store. And did you see that kid that threw a stone at your window?
I didn't see a kid actually. I saw a very improprietous man.
Well, I
slam into the door just then.
I saw you look up after the crack appeared on the door, so I feel like we're at an impasse.
I might have not have seen it, but I definitely heard it, and I know a miscreant when I see one.
Oh, I pull out the picture of Ethan Blaine.
Imagine. What's this?
You don't know this miscreant when you see one? Okay, never mind, we're done here. Goodbye. Can we use your phone? Sorry, let's start over. Do you recognize the man in this picture?
No, I'm not the owner. You want him over there.
Oh, wow.
The man behind the counter.
Enjoy your books then, and I walk away.
And he goes over to the guy at the counter. You know, he just slammed into your door, you know.
You know.
He just.
That was the sound of slamming into the door.
And he's left a crap.
As I was walking up the steps of your fine establishment, a local tough was walking by, chucked a rock at me.
I tried to apprehend the tough, but he kneed me, and I still walk with a bit of a limp. A limp.
I attempted to maneuver my substantial girth between the windows of your store.
But he was spry.
Trajectory, but I may be large, but I move slowly for it.
Mm-hmm. It's inertial mass. Very, very sophisticated Newtonian physics.
Anyways.
Right. You can leave us alone now. I'll take care of this. So, sirs, what brings you to this place?
I pulled the picture back out. I guess I didn't put it away. I hold the picture up.
Yes?
Do you recognize this man?
I think so.
Where? When? When did you see him? Is he here?
Look around. Do you think he's here?
I'd look around.
Yeah, look around.
There's just the one elderly customer.
Oh, I guess not.
Have you ever heard of the Scriptures of Shul, by any chance?
Yes, he has a very ancient and rare occult book.
Yes, I'm well aware of the Scriptures of Shul. I believe I did. I spoke to this man about it, yes?
Aha, so he was looking for it.
Yeah, said his name was, James Daish.
Wait, not Ethan Blaine?
James Daish.
Hold on.
Jim or James? Jim James Daish? That's a strange name. Alright. Huh.
Will. Do we tell him about the fact that the dude stole the book and that he said his name was Ethan Blaine, or do we keep that a secret?
I don't know if it's relevant.
I guess we'll flip a coin.
Alright. I have all of these quarters still.
That's a 1d2. You flip it.
Okay. I guess I should roll a 1d2 then.
Huh. Yeah.
I roll a 2, whatever that corresponds with.
Shoot! Okay, we tell him.
Oh, okay. This guy also has been known to go by the name Ethan Blaine. Notorious book thief. And general ne'er-do-well.
I see. Well, that's a shame. What's he stolen this shul then?
Yeah, as of now, that's Quincy? all that's been verified. But he may have been after more than just this, and more than just here.
Yes, he did. He gave me a list of books that he was after, and a contact address for him. I can get you that.
That would be much appreciated. Like, were any of the books ones that you have here?
No, like I told him, you'd be better off asking Quincy.
Okay.
Or, one of his associates.
Well, if he ever comes by again, or any of the books he was after comes into your possession, I'd advise caution. He's been known to, stoop so low as to drug a man's drink.
His tea.
His tea. Yes. A man's tea.
Well, yes, I'm sure that's something that, Quincy probably would have said. He probably just passed out drunk.
Quincy's the driest man I know. Not a lick of drink nary passed between those lips.
Right.
We're getting a little off topic. May we have a copy of the list of books he was looking for and the contact information for him?
Absolutely. Yes. Anything that you know? I mean, I joke about him, but Quincy's a good guy, and if something like this happened, I suppose I kind of feel responsible. So
You did point the guy in his direction, so just a little bit.
Well, anyone would have done the same. He's a respected guy in the circle. Yeah.
Well, no, that's noble. Offering business to your competitors.
Sorry, is the circle the name of? You know what? I shouldn't ask, but yes, it's good to have close knit friends who have a they're close.
Okay.
I'll give him a wink.
What are you insinuating? I blush.
Nothing. I'm not insinuating anything. Nothing at all. Certainly nothing as far as, just not. Well, thank you very much for the information. May we use your phone?
I suppose so.
All right, and, I'm gonna go for making the other three phone calls to the other three bookstores.
I was gonna phone Quincy again so I could try to learn his name, but we just learned it was Quincy.
Oh yeah, we did. Wow. Wow, this is starting out very, very well. We are great detectives.
Very, very good.
All right. What's the second bookshop's name?
You go through the rest of the list. You find very little information.
I guess since we have the address.
Look, I just
Ethan Blaine / Jim James Dash Dosh.
I'm in a play. I learned that largely cumulative is a phrase that people can use. I really wanted to say that the other bookshop's information was largely cumulative.
What that mean?
Okay.
Great. Okay.
Okay. I suspiciously eye that aged customer.
What about her?
Him? It's him. I hold up the picture of Ethan Blaine / and or Jim James Daish, and I look back and forth between the two.
They look nothing alike. One of them is old, balding, and bespectacled.
I squint just a bit harder.
Maybe he's got a costume on.
I'll take that as a no. Okay. Fair enough.
Alright.
I still eye them suspiciously as I walk out the front door.
So hurrying after him. So we've got a list of books and we've got an address. Should we try and figure out what he's up, his book deal first, or?
I think we should casually stroll by the address.
Alright.
Sure. Super casual.
Here, let me light your pipe tobacco.
Thanks. Let me light yours.
Oh, thank you. You know, pipe tobacco is one of the lost joys as we, I guess, stroll up to this address. And really one of the lost joys of the old age.
Yeah, I know. Between it falling out of fashion and the current state of prohibition, there's not much left to a man.
But, not much at all. Still, at least for me, a good book isn't outlawed. Not yet. And a good fist fight is certainly...
And a good fist fight. Enough. I haven't punched anything. I haven't punched anything in some time.
We'll break out into an impromptu sparring match in the middle of the street.
Is there anyone around?
Are there any girls to be impressed?
The answer is no.
Man, the streets are barren.
What's the point? What's the point?
I guess it is getting on in the evening, because we went to Quincy's house at 4?
Oh, that's true.
Speaking of getting on in the evening, is it okay if we wrap up soonish? Because I'm getting kind of really tired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I just want to get to Quincy's listed apartment and punch his door down and then punch some more.
Alright, so it's late in the evening. Our faces are lit by the soft glow of our pipes. Our trench coats rustle in the presumably autumn breeze. Maybe it's winter in a warm place. This is Maine. It's probably not very warm. Alright, so I guess just let us know when we get there.
Where are you going to? Which address?
The given address for Jim James Dosh and Ethan Blaine. And or Ethan Blaine.
Okay, it's just because you said Quincy a minute ago.
Oh. We're not going to Quincy's house.
Okay. You roll up. It looks like a cheap hovel kind of a place. There's multiple people living here.
Looks like
in various rooms.
Is there a back door? Is a thief would live.
There's several doors. There's multiple entrances, and then there's hallways, and then it's like kind of a hotel style. They lead to different.
Okay, and like fire escapes and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to make sure where he is and corner him before he has a chance to get suspicious of us and bolt.
Yeah, you're so good at this. All right, where do we start?
Okay, let's.
He's on the, he's up, up a set of stairs and, he's facing the street.
Oh, it looks like the address wasn't just the building, it was also the room number.
Oh.
Convenient.
Wow, that's, okay. What now?
Okay, I'm still gonna, on the way to that room number, do we see any other residents?
Any other books?
Yeah, you can see other books, various.
There's a book standing in the doorway. There's a resident written across its title.
There's a phone book.
There's a phone book.
Too many books.
Your Bible.
Too many books.
You can see... a couple of people, shady looking, people. Then also some more just sort of like poor families, assuming that you're sort of looking through windows as well.
sure.
Okay, I'll stop one of the family peoples. They're less shady than the shady peoples, I'm assuming. Have you seen James around?
Oh, is that James? That's the guy...
Ethan James?
His
friends call him James. He may go by Ethan.
Oh,
that should have been a James.
Nah.
I'm not sure.
Ethan James, Jim... Blaine Dash?
Oh, yeah, Dash.
Dash, right.
He's the guy up there who, He's always making noise. He's always yelling about something. He's, yeah. Your friend is?
Yeah, you could say that. We're very interested in the same topics.
Ugh, great. More yelling.
No, there may be some yelling. I say as I stroll off down the hall towards the door we were pointed to.
There might be some yelling. Sorry, have a good night.
You too.
Oh my god, this is so exciting, Willow.
Okay,
what should I do?
We're on the second floor. Guns? What?
Shouldn't we have guns?
Calm down, Alex. Between the two of us, we already have 4 guns.
Oh, yeah!
Okay, let's both put our shoulders into it, just bust down his door, then methodically look in every room with a window so he can't jump out of them, and then search the other rooms till we have him cornered. Then we punch him just a bit, sportingly.
Just a bit.
Sportingly a bit about the head. Okay. And then we take all of the books.
Wow.
Or maybe just the one book.
As we pause in front of the door, our shoulders raised, I say, wow, it's really lucky for us that Quincy didn't, like, talk to any of the people he knows at the bookseller, because that dude just straight up had the address.
That's why I know. That's what I was saying, right?
Hey, man, whatever. God is smiling on us. Or gods. Yes. Polytheism. Might be right.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Heave-ho.
Heave-ho!
You heave-ho through the door. The door is smashed. Split is wide open. You can smell immediately the place stinks. The place stinks, and you can hear a loud chanting noise coming from one of the rooms.
For the record, I can't tell that it stinks because my senses, my olfactory senses have been dulled by drinking vinegar daily.
I can tell it smells though.
You can tell it smells, and you can also see, even if you can't smell anything, you can still see that there are stains on various walls.
Let's go for that chanting.
Yes, I rush to the sound of the chanting.
Okay. The scene is, picture this. You enter into a living room area with a large window facing onto the street. In front of you, in front of the window, you can see on the floor, smeared in fecal matter, is a crudely drawn pentagram.
Okay.
Sitting upon which is the naked, chanting figure of Ethan playing James Dish. Matching the description perfectly. There are also various skulls and bones around the room.
I didn't know he was in Skull and Bones.
Isn't
that the Illuminati thing? Okay. I'm gonna grapple him.
The threshold of the room.
And he's currently reading from a book, a large book, which appears to be the scriptures of Shul. He looks up at you as you enter.
I'm gonna take brisk steps across the room to him as quickly as my long legs can take me, and I'm going to grapple him by the shoulders.
Okay,
or
he
under
starts,
the armpits.
He quickly starts wriggling backwards. Make a grapple roll.
Let's see. 34.
Is that a success?
Yeah, I have a 70 grapple.
Oh.
You run towards him. He backs away. You grab at his arm. You grab the book.
I'm not picking up the book for now.
I'm explaining what's going to happen in the scene.
I thought you said I grabbed the book, and I was saying that I wasn't going to grab the book. Sorry, I must have misheard.
Okay. You grab for his wrist to stop him. He wriggles out of the way, but you do manage to grab hold of the book. when he actually even grab hold of his wrist for a little bit, but he jerks back.
I was gonna pick him up under the shoulders. Sorry,
He jerks back to such an extent that he, as he trips backwards, he falls over the skull. Smashing it with his foot. His foot starts to bleed. He hops around.
Can I still grapple him backwards? I'm trying to throw him out a window here.
All happens very quickly.
I'm trying to throw him out a window here.
He's hopping? He's hopping.
Listen, I passed my grapple roll.
He hops. He smashes through the window. He falls backwards onto the street below with a loud crack. You go down. You look. His neck is broken.
Oh, man!
Blood spurts out and pools around him as he lies there dead.
Just our luck.
We're gonna be in so much trouble for this?
What? No, I wanted to heave him out the window.
No! Don't say that!
Listen, we go back in.
Don't take the body!
What? No!
Call the cops, maybe? I don't know!
He's covered in shit. He obviously, hurt his foot, jumped around, fell out his window. He's clearly not a sane man. People die in this neighborhood all the time.
That does sound like it could work.
Let's just go back in and that one family we asked, we slipped them a roll of quarters, say we were never here. That should be the end of the yelling. And just, don't let the popo know.
Okay, but we should search his apartment first.
Oh yeah, we should take everything of value.
I'd like the book.
Yeah,
I can't believe we succeeded so easily. This is great.
Yeah, I still wish I had gone to heave him out that window. You know, that's the fun of it, really. That's the sport, being a detective.
Well, maybe next time we can.
Oh, sure. You know what? I go back into the building. Are there any, clear, strung out drunks or druggies or anything?
Yeah, you go into a darkened room. There's a guy, clearly, doesn't even answer the opening of the door. It smells of smoke, in the area. There's a guy who, seems to be pretty strung out on opiates. Very emaciated.
What do you think? Would the cost be less suspicious if it looked like some sort of mass suicide? Okay, you know, I'm just gonna pick him up and I'm gonna chuck him at the wall to relieve some stress, but I won't throw him out the window.
Okay, give me a grapple roll.
These are very unorthodox methods. Probably,
but I get results.
Well, you certainly did. I'll go get the book.
Yeah,
I'll finish up in here.
You grab the guy from the bed. What did you get?
16 under my 70. Okay.
Give me a throw roll.
Oh, I didn't factor that into the points I spent.
Oh no.
Maybe I just prop him up and then I bust him in the jaw and then I walk out.
Okay, give me a punch roll.
Martial arts, in it?
Yeah.
That was a D10. Okay, I get a 58, which is still a pass with both my punch and my martial arts. And I have a 1d4 damage bonus, so.
Well, are you aiming to knock him out, or?
I'm not particularly aiming other than, at the face area.
Okay, are you pulling your punches, or are you whack him? You're gonna whack him full on?
Yeah. 1d3 plus a 1d4 times 2.
I think it's just 2d3 plus 1d4.
Oh, maybe. It's possible.
If only we had the rule book.
Are you going?
Oh, you want, are you going
to
roll
that? Oh, I was leaving it up to you.
You can roll that.
Okay.
It's your artisanal fisticuffs. Take charge.
I got a 4 on the D4, and now I have to set up the D3s. A 3 and a 2.
4, 3, 2, that's 9. That's 9. Bust into the face. That's 9. He's dead. Snap his neck in half. Like a bundle of sticks. Account of manslaughter.
Yeah. You punch him directly in the jaw. He slumps over.
You know, they're...
You aren't sure if he's breathing or not.
And these locals have no fight in them.
Do I find the book in our mysterious ne'er-do-well's room?
Can I look at the scenario so that I know what is in the room, just in case there's anything that's vital?
Well, how about we just verify whether the book is there or not, and then we start off the next campaign with the what's in the room, because that'd be
pretty... Well, he was reading from the book, so it must be there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wilhelm grabbed it from his hands.
Oh, so Wilhelm's had it this whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, I looked for the book, it wasn't in there. Oh, you have it. Well, what'd you do to this guy?
But you do, if you are looking around the office, based on, apartment based on, what is in this, thing, you get, a wallet, and hundreds of sheets of barely readable scroll.
Well.
Oh. You can also find a bottle, like a vial, a black valise, and $12 in cash.
Yoink! I will take all of this. Wait, hold on. I'll leave the bottle, so it looks like he's a drunk, and he's breaking the law. And I'll leave $5. No. I'll leave 50 cents.
Oh, I should mention about the bottle. It's not like a alcohol sized bottle. It's just like a small vial, that kind of bottle dark liquid.
Does it smell like vinegar?
To a degree.
Oh, well, maybe I'll take it.
No. Okay, as long as you keep it safe. All right. We got the money. We got the scrawl. We got the what was the first thing?
Wallet. Get the wallet.
I'll put the money in the wallet. Get the scroll. Wait. Oh, we should leave it. Okay, let's flip through the wallet here.
Okay. You got the driver's license inside. It's Ethan Blaine of Providence, Rhode Island.
So that is his name.
He has a car.
He has a car.
He's 32 years old. His occupation is listed as a graduate student.
Well, what a weird place for a graduate student in.
I plant the wallet on the guy I punched down in the other room.
All right.
And I leave a bit of money in it, but only like a few bills.
Okay.
And I'll take. There's still a ship pentagram on the ground, right?
Yeah.
All right. Then I will leave that there as evidence of his craziness. And I'll take the pages of scroll, and I will write down the driver's license information and whatever else he had in his wallet before we lose track of it.
Okay.
Does he have a car key?
Sorry?
A car key?
No.
Damn! Oh, well.
Oh, well.
You think he probably sold his car?
Oh.
Because it doesn't look like he has a job?
Well, there is... This place is depressing, Wilhelm. Let's get back to somewhere where we can drink some fine wine and spend, like, $70. We could buy years worth of wine with that. If we bought...
There's wine at my apartment. Yeah. I guess we can just order out. To spend.
Well, no, we should take the book back to Quincy first.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, it's like the middle of the night.
Well, yeah, in more ways than one. But I'm sure he'll want, to know about it first thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This way we get a reputation for promptness. And
Right. Speaking of promptness.
Isn't this the same place?
Town sure doesn't have any cops.
Let's get out of here.
Sirens approach.
We're out.
Does it look like anyone saw me enter the guy's room and punch him out?
You didn't check before you went in.
All right. Okay.
All right, let's just get out.
Yeah.
Okay. We get out. Are we successful?
Give me a sneak roll.
All right.
I have a sneak of 10.
I also have a sneak of 10 in D10.
I was about to say I rolled a 10, but I hit a D10 again, so let me just do a 1. That's D100, now 42. Okay, do I recognize that I'm doing an awful job, that I have no chance of sneaking?
Well, you recognize it, but it doesn't affect your ability to
If I do, then I'll stop in the lobby and pretend like I'm still asking people what room that guy is in.
Oh, good idea.
Like, I'm pretending I still haven't noticed anything, haven't gone upstairs yet. So anyone know where Ethan Blaine, Jim James Dosh? Anyone here in this lobby?
Hello, you're looking for Ethan Blaine?
Or possibly James Dosh, we're investigating him let me just confer with my partner. It was about a book, and I try to make motions for him to hide the book. A book that's missing. No one's
seen. Give me a conceal roll.
No, I'm not gonna try and hide it. I'm gonna be like, yeah, he stole the companion book to the Prophecies of Sewell. It's one of a very valuable pair, and
Quincy, what's his face?
Yes, Mr. Quincy. We're hired by him.
For safekeeping.
Yes.
Then decided to come back once he realized he didn't have the full set.
And do you have contact information for this, Mr. Quincy?
Yeah. Here's his name.
I see. All right. So what are your names, gentlemen?
Well, I am Wilhelm Conrad Rayleigh.
I'm Alex Ragden. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you too.
Yes, we're...
What exactly is your reason for visiting Mr. Daesh?
Well, Mr. Quincy believed that Daesh had robbed him, taken one of the set of this book. He gave us this book for safekeeping under the presumption that once Daesh noticed he'd missed half of it, he may come back. And we were asked to come here and to see if Daesh or maybe Jim, James, or possibly Ethan Blaine, it seems he went under some pseudonyms. A shady fellow.
We're prepared for trouble.
Yeah.
We were asked to come here find out if he fit the description, if he had the other half of this book in his possession by any chance.
You said prepared for trouble. What does that mean?
Well, we're both well-versed in that. What do you know about the noble art of pugilism?
Artisanal pugilism.
We say fanning our mustaches.
I see. So,
It's an ancient art where one challenges one's spiritual energy into raw concussive force.
It's all punches.
This was your intention upon meeting Mr. Blaine. You intend to cause him bodily harm?
No, we were only prepared for trouble.
In case he tries to start.
We just wanted to ask after the location of the book if he had it.
I see.
Must prepare for war.
You've been asking all these questions. I hardly thought to ask. Why, what brings you here, officer? I know this is a bad part of town.
Say, that's a good point.
My detective role often brings me here towards the end of a case. Were you perhaps after? You've asked a lot of questions about Daesh or Blaine. Are you possibly also looking into his suspect role in the thievery of many books?
He's actually been, we've actually received a phone call that, Mr. Blaine, seems to have been ejected from his premises.
Like kicked out? He doesn't reside here anymore?
Indeed, it's, appears to have been, the victim of a violent assault.
Oh.
I was wondering if you had any comment about that?
Well, no, this was just the last known location we were given of him.
And still, when did you arrive here?
What would you say? Well, my pocket watch is notoriously off, but I'd say about 10-20 minutes ago.
Not very long.
We knew was the building number. We've been asking around, but you know the folks here are.
People very cagey information. One person says he's in this room, another person calls him by another name and says he doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah, someone said he lived on the second floor, but we're trying to work our way up. I mean, other people say he lives on the first floor.
Tap my nose and say, can't be too thorough.
Been here for 20 minutes, you said?
I don't know.
An amount of time.
Time seems to pass nebulously for us.
Yes. Depending on one context, time may not pass at all.
I've been here for the reasonable amount of time for me to say I've been here for.
Would you care to accompany me to the station, please?
Well, why not up to the man's room? We've got to see if he has what we're looking for.
Let's roll back. You say he's been, ejected him from his window? You're being kind of cagey. What happened?
I said he's been ejected from his premises. I didn't mention anything about a window.
No, you said, what window of time were we here for? I'm sorry, I'm getting my language confused. I'm not a man of many words. And also, I'm pretty sure you said window at some point.
I heard him say window, too. I heard you say window. He said, did he get kicked out? And you said, no, he's been thrown out onto the street. And, excuse me, but do you believe that he was thrown out through his wall?
Yeah, you said he was harmed, so... I mean, other people may be looking for this book, too. It's very valuable.
Which, speaking of which, we should really...
What exactly is this book?
It's
Ancient Occult Flammery. It's exceedingly rare. It's exceedingly rare, and it's worth unbelievable quantities of money. It's the perfect prize for any aspiring young thief. And I can imagine anybody who lives in such deplorable conditions as these would love to get their hands on it.
I see. So you came to these premises with the intention of retrieving a valuable object from Mr. Blaine?
Well, if he had it. And if he didn't, we wanted to find out
this was even where he lived.
And you were prepared to use force if necessary.
No, we were prepared to defend ourselves.
If a man pulls a knife on me, I'm not going to hold back, if you know what I'm saying.
Gentlemen, please, if you would, please accompany me to the station. I'll have further questions.
This is highly irregular.
I'm afraid you'll find it's highly regular at the site of a murder, an ongoing murder investigation.
Murder? Who said anything about murder?
Yes, Mr. Blaine has been murdered.
Well, don't you see that we can't be taken to the station now? There's foul business afoot.
And you two were my prime suspects.
We are the victims. Neither
of us have even been to the second floor yet. I imagine if he was thrown from the second floor, that's where you would find your man and us, our book, I hope.
I'm sure that all of the clues in this building point towards someone else and not us.
He calls forward another officer.
Look, sir, maybe you're a little bit more reasonable. All I'm saying...
The other officer handcuffs you?
All that... Sir! Sir!
Handcuffs both of you?
Sir, I am a respected member of... I am an employee of the government.
Now leading you towards a waiting police car.
I'm considering resisting arrest. I'll make up my mind eventually.
We have a man waiting. We need to make a very important phone call.
The car door
is open. $1,000s on the line!
You're being pushed into the back of the car.
Listen to me! Listen to me! Damn you!
Car door is shut.
Did the handcuffs actually fit? Did the handcuffs actually fit around my wrist?
Yep.
With my size of 17?
Yeah, they don't make handcuffs that don't fit some people. They're like, oh, well, we're not prepared for big people.
17 is one point off of the largest man to ever live, so.
One point off being on par with the largest, whatever percentage is of between 6 and 18 of human population, yeah.
I think 18 was described as being the largest man you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fine.
Yeah, the police, do you think they don't meet big people?
Well, the largest man they've ever seen, that's some...
Yeah, and they would make, freak show. They would make handcuffs that fit that size.
I have big, meaty punching wrists. These cops thought of everything. Making handcuffs large enough to fit around wrists.
They're damnably prepared.
To arrest the wrong people.
You have to arrest innocent men!
The front door opens, the driver gets in. You're being driven.
Wait, why? I have a lot of points in headbutt. I should have headbutted someone at some point. Is it too late?
Are we gonna let's end the scenario here. When we start off next time, we can decide whether or not we're going to start with a crime procedural or a violent escape.
We agreed the book and used the spells within to escape from prison.
Yep, it's like a pamphlet, right? It's like a two-minute read.
It's a if you want a description of the book, I can give you it now. It's a thick octavo book. Which is in good condition for its purported age. Densely printed, it has been annotated by Blaine in the salient locations. The scripture is the collected knowledge of a 3,000-year-old... written in the way that it assumes the reader has a vast amount of magical knowledge.
Oh.
So it's difficult to read.
Hmm. Well, other than the fact that we have a book and all the notes... in his handwriting on us. I don't know. The clues should point to him having fallen out his own window, right? I touched his wrist, but...
Probably.
It wasn't fingerprints or anything. Then there was the other man. Completely unrelated. They probably won't even notice him.
I'm just gonna start to weep.
I know, I am almost moved to tears as well at the injustice of it all. I thought this was America.
I don't even remember whether we're guilty or not.
This is what they do to you. They ask leading questions. Never forget who you are.
Let me out!
We're innocent. I thrash back and forth against the doors.
I can't stand to be in here anymore.
End of episode one.
I can break these cuffs.
You say you can. I can break these cuffs. I might start the next episode using my 17 strength to break these cuffs.
Yeah, all I have is my size.
Mm-hmm. That's it. But with your size and my strength, buddy, we're probably gonna, like, kill a bunch of people.
We fuse together.
To form Jake's suit. In issue 1 of the Adventure Time graphic novel available today at Chemshaw Comics Emporium.
Written by Ryan North and illustrated by some other people. And they know
look at the upper right corner of the comic, you'll see, depending on the cover, a color.
It's not Fiona Staples, no, she does the other one.
These are questions that have no answer.
They will be answered, though, next week on another episode of Penn and Teller's Smoke and Mirrors. If you didn't watch Desert Bus, it's over now. Oh boy, did you miss a wild ride in the desert.
On a bus.
On a bus.
That's all. That's all of it. That's the end of this episode.
The cop forgets to constantly list slightly to the right.
Left. Whoops.
He goes off the road.
Oh, now we're getting towed. What's this? A new driver? It's me. I'm driving.
But your hands are still handcuffed.
It's time for Carmel Dansen in the handcuffs. Surprisingly copacetic.
Okay, what do you think of the episode? Is it okay?
It was pretty good. I quite liked her character. I think we've got a good dynamic of set up, knock down, wherein I pick up a
sleeping man and put him on his feet and then punch him and knock him down.
Punch him possibly to death. Maybe that's why I can't remember whether we're guilty of murder.
Because the 1920s, the cops don't care. Cops don't care, they'd let us off. We'd have a laugh, slap each other on the back.
We'll be guilty of murder. In both cases, you as the murderer and me as the accomplice, but we won't be being charged for the actual murder.
I only did 9 damage. Average health is like 9.
9!
he could survive if the cops get to him in first aid.
They won't, though!
And then he can... Well, that's because they don't care, which is why they'll let us go.
It's why they're pigs, is what's up. Anarchist, fascist pigs.
Plus, the also, cops. you left Ethan Blaine's wallet on him?
Yeah, we planted the evidence. Yeah. They don't have fingerprints. They're gonna think Ethan Blaine came in with this new find, this valuable book. Then that guy heard him talking about how rich he suddenly was and decided to go after him for some money. Then they got into an altercation. That guy knocked Ethan Blaine out his window. And then a third man who I never had a chance to set up. It was going to be turtles all the way down of people I knocked out and placed wallets on.
By the end of the investigation, every single person in this hotel is unconscious.
At the end of the investigation, the cop turns and looks at his partner, who has somehow been knocked unconscious and now has all the wallets on him.
All but one. The cop looks in his own back pocket. He's got his partner's wallet.
And then they'll have to fit into the back of the cop car.
That's clown cars all the way down. It's been another episode.
I guess you kind of just gave yourself up to the police in terms of what you were saying.
You were talking really quickly. I was considering resisting arrest and then running.
Yeah.
It's hard when we don't have a car for once.
Yeah.
We would have had to escape on public transit.
That wouldn't have gone well. No, I don't know. I think this is probably going to be terrible for us. But it's all right. That's sort of the way things go for Alex Randon. He's an assistant librarian. He majored in Chaucerian poetry.
We didn't say anything incriminating because we can lay the record back, and the cop totally said that he mentioned the windows before I did.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And, so we're basically fine, except we're probably going to go to jail and maybe we'll get the chair for this. But it's all right. I'll break out if I have to. I have skills in psychology and mechanical repair and disguise.
I can dodge and punch.
Yeah, I can also punch. Not so much the dodge.
I guess I could survive in prison. It wouldn't be that hard.
We would probably be okay in prison.
Wait, okay, next game, we're in the prison. There's
next
called,
game.
There's cultists in the prison. We're shipping each other in the yard.
Next game, completely different plot. Cultist in prison, different cult. We are boss of this prison.
Okay, we're there.
Wait. Next episode, existing show, season one of Prison Break. We're in.
Wait. Next episode, there's two warring factions in a prison. It's mine versus yours.
Oh shit!
One time friends, we become nemesis. But then a whole bunch of cultists are busted all at once and taken in. And then they start raising trouble. And so we band together to fight a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah! Alright, so it's locked in. Next time on Cthulhu on Parade, all of that. Plus a map on someone's back. Is it a zombie's back? Can't read that map anymore. Tune in next time.
Okay, good night.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Thank you for playing.
Thanks for running it.
Yeah, thanks, Will.
Thanks, hope you had a good time. Alright.
Great.
Okay.
Alright.
Good night.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time.
Good night, sweetheart.
But wait, don't touch those dials yet, listener. Stay tuned to COP99.999 repeating for all your Cthulhu on Parade news, tricks, tips, and updates. Next up, a prolonged segment of pregame chat edited back in at the end for your convenience. But first, a word from our sponsors.
We have a sponsor, right? Play the... We don't have it?
God damn.
Hello?
No message for, Oh, it's,
just join the call, then I can answer your questions without having to type. Do you know how ridiculous it is having to type all the time? Human beings, they don't have mouths for no reason. So you can, we didn't develop the ability to talk. So that we could use our fingers to go, ridiculous. Join the chat. Pick up the phone. Hang on. This is a new deal. There you go.
This does not sound like a ukulele.
That was me singing. I was singing.
Where's the ukulele?
It's here. Hang on. Alright.
That doesn't sound like a ukulele.
I think you're unfamiliar with the sweet, sweet sounds of a uke.
I was gonna insist I was more of a singing, but...
I'll try and remember what I can do. Alright. Now, I might be off-put by the fact that I'm performing on this. Anyway, okay, here we go. Yeah, okay, can't do that bit. Alright, I'll just leave it at that.
There's no reason for you to be... There's no reason for you to be off-put for performing in front of us. It's not like we're going to rebuke you.
I'm done with that pun, professor.
Wait, are you learning how to play the uke so that you can roll up to the quad and start strumming and in turn and say ukuleles?
I guess I have to know. Maybe it could pronounce ukuleles though.
I don't know.
Are there ukuleles in the time period in which this scenario is done? And are they modern fiberglass ukuleles? Simple polished wood ukuleles? Or the very rough ukuleles of the 1890s?
It's not of the 1890s. It's from the 1920s.
Alright.
I don't know when ukuleles were invented, but they were, they're from probably Hawaii, right? It seems like one of those Hawaiian bullshits.
Are you pronouncing ukulele because that's the way it was pronounced in Homestar Runner?
I'm pronouncing ukulele because that's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Well, those two things are the same sentence that we said.
Okay. Look at this. Alright, okay. I'm
trying to figure out a name for my character.
Why not name him Luke?
Luke-a-lele.
Did George Lucas name his characters Luke and Leia because it sounded like Luke-a-lele?
I think it's because he's a hack. And he came up with one name. It was like, what's the least amount of work I can do to get to the second?
Well, Anakin is the dad. That's pretty... How come the dad's called Anakin and the other guy's called Obi-Wan and then the main guy's called Luke? That is Luke.
He probably came up with the name Anakin like years after the fact.
When he was like, "No, this should be way more space than it is. I can't believe I made this so little space."
Here's a bit more space.
Obi-Wan's going in hiding as Uncle Ben.
Okay, my character's name is Uncle Ben.
Is that, how come Uncle Ben, is that the same Uncle Ben as Spider-Man's uncle?
Probably not, different planets.
Oh.
I'm just
but
saying.
When he got struck down, actually, he was made more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
Star Wars.
No, he wasn't. He just died and he never came back.
He did.
No,
he came back in flashbacks.
As a spooky ghost.
And
no,
ghost.
Wait a minute. Isn't his? Oh, wait. Luke's...
Uncle Ben. We're talking about Uncle Ben.
But Luke's actually got parents, doesn't he? I was confused.
Yeah, Anakin Skywalker and Padme, right?
Ah, you're right. He doesn't live with his folks. He lives with his uncle. And is his uncle named Ben?
No, his uncle is
named
Tashi Station. Oh, Uncle Owen and Aunt.
Aunt Wikipedia.
He lives at Tashi Power Station. His mother.
Yeah, he wants to go get some power converters.
He loves power converters. And
he loves power converters and shooting womp rats.
And they're not bigger than. He makes a womp rat out of power converters, and they become
wacky hijinks.
So does Luke wind up marrying Ginny Weasley?
I haven't read that one yet. I'm gonna say yes.
J.K. Rowling said that she regretted that Ron and Harry, that Harry and Hermione didn't get together, and that Ron and Hermione did.
I'd like to think she just read some really, really convincing fanfic and and understood finally that she had missed a great opportunity.
I disagree. I think it's better that Hermione and Ron get together. But I didn't buy Harry getting together with Ginny, because I don't think Harry even does anything. I think he's rubbish. He's the worst character. He's got no opinions. He's got nothing. He's very bland. Doesn't even deserve. And also, how come if it's the 90s when the books and the whatever's are set, how come they're listening to, they listen to Morrissey or The Cure or some bullshit in the movie. And how come that is if, you know, it's nice. Everyone should be listening to, like, Spice Girls and...
Wow.
These are some very good questions.
I am having such a great moment imagining the dance scene in movie 7.5 being to, like, Spice World.
Yeah. They go watch the movie Spice World in cinemas. Meatloaf is there.
It's a movie in a movie. It's genius.
It is. The whole never movie. Been done before. They watch the entirety of the movie.
And you realize...
And they sit in the front row and they make snarky comments. And the camera view is just the back of their heads.
No, the camera view is the front of their heads. You don't get to see what's what.
But occasionally, at the good bits in the movie, it zooms in really close and you watch the reflection on their eyeballs.
Yes.
I see. I understand.
I'm trying to print out my character sheet at the moment. And by print out my character sheet, I mean print out a blank one. It's tough goings. I'm pretty sure it's trying to lay down ink on some sort of plastic wrapper that's jammed in the mechanism.
Yeah, my print is broken because a bunch of glass fell into it.
I had to print something on campus today, and the PDF they sent it to me and was not compatible with anything, with their own printers. They were like, hey, print this and bring it to us. And I was like, okay, let me use your own printers. You would think they would have figured that out.
Nope. They don't know nothing about nothing. You can't get them on. Not on lead, not on aluminium.
They're completely electric. That was too quiet. I don't know if you moved away from the microphone.
Yeah, like maybe something got bumped in there, got quiet.
Okay, I'm just gonna play a little bit more usable.
From your uke?
Yep. You know, he's gotta practice every day.
Uh-huh.
Or if you meet, you practice every day for a bit, and then you leave it.
Nope. I'm playing an unplugged-in bass guitar, which I hadn't touched in like 4 months until you reminded me where it was in my room.
I'm glad I could do that. That's cool, though. That's a cool thing.
My headset cord is in the way of me actually playing.
But maybe we can do.
I can't. Well, sure. Okay, just play something random, and I'll play something random, and then there'll be some Skype delay, and we'll call it a jam.
Okay, I'll just play the exact same thing that I happened.
Okay, I'll just play the exact same thing I was playing.
Okay.
Okay, my rhythm's getting thrown off. Yep.
I've turned my printer into a bicycle wheel with a baseball card in the spokes.
It's very MacGyver of you.
This is just what I need to defeat the Nazis.
That's the next act of our musical episode.
Yeah, I'm really into stomp. This is my found musical instrument.
I'm going to plug in an old floppy drive and play some music on that.
Oh, yeah. You're going to set me up with that sweet promise, and then you're going to give me a yeah. Betrayed.
Well, I wasn't going to give you anything. Vince gave it to you. It ran.
Oh, that was Will?
Well, yeah, Will, I did that. Do that. I also used to do an impression of a printer, and it went like,
you're doing a pretty good impression of this one, Liz.
And brilliant audio.
Holy shit, it finally got the page through. I didn't think it could be done. But it happened.
Oh boy.
The audio of you impersonating a printer is going to be almost as riveting as me failing to play a bass guitar.
I hope so. Because when I give this episode to edit, I expect to return with a title change. Nothing else.
I actually did edit things in that other one. I said I was going to do that, but I did cut some things out. Okay. Very little. Very little.
Very Manila?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you must have deleted the bit about when I said that John Lennon beat his wife. I hope you don't delete it in this one.
No, I didn't delete it. I'm sure I didn't.
Oh. Cool.
Because I had a list of notes of things I cut out, and I only actually cut out like 3 things. Mostly I just, every time someone like elbowed a microphone, which kept happening that episode, I just went to it and, I didn't even delete it. I just lowered the audio or the Yeah. Dropped at like 10 decibels.
Alright.
I know you deleted the racism.
Maybe I did. Did I?
The racism is so pervasive that I don't think any
pervasism? Of
us can get it.
Oh, pretty good joke.
This was funny to die. You need to not invest in life insurance because that was okay.
Conan, what is best in life insurance?
My life insurance material isn't coming to mind.
Oh yeah, because if it did, there'd be life. I don't know why I said that. I forgot that the missing step was that in my head I was thinking about light bulbs. And then, because you were the same.
Was you taking a spot in the joke that you didn't actually make?
Yeah, yes. Yes. Behind the magic. Sometimes I forget that I haven't said a thing, and then I make a joke about a thought that
on this very special episode of Cthulhu on Parade, we take you before the goofs.
Hey, speaking of Cthulhu on Parade, in this next episode, our heroes find themselves in a sticky situation involving
a missing book. A jar of jelly.
A missing book and a jar of jelly.
Okay.
Which is known as jam in some places, or jam.
Delicious fruit preserves in others.
Yeah. Jello and jelly are different, right? In dark countries.
Yes. Jello's nasty.
Do you even have a word for jam?
Jam.
So why don't you
jam
just
jam and jelly are just two different types. One, what is the difference?
What is the difference?
I think it refers to the consistency.
I think.
Oh, you mean like how some of it will have bits in it, like marmalade?
Yeah, well, we have marmalade too. I'm assuming it's actually the exact same thing. I don't think there's a difference in between our jellies, jams, and marmalades.
Just speak the language. All I'm saying, if you're gonna live in this hemisphere, speak the language.
Okay.
Right.
Do either of you have the quick start that's got the die rolls for setting up a new character's stats?
Yes. I was looking at it earlier.
3d6 for strength, 3d6 for dex, 3d6 for app, 2d6 plus 6 for intelligence, 2d6 plus 6 for size, and 3d6 plus 3 for education. Then everything else is just 3d6.
Okay, I found my editing notes.
So it's 3d6 for strength, 3d6 for... That's 3d6 for strength, dex, and appearance, 2d6 for int, 2d6 plus 6 for size. Is there something else?
Yeah, it's 2d6 plus 6 for intelligence, not just 2d6. And it's 3d6 plus 3 for education.
Okay. Do you still want me to send you a copy of the quick start? Is it not on your computer, or...
It's not on the computer I'm using right now, so yeah, that'd be nice. Chaosium came out with 7th edition, so that's all they've got now is the 7th edition quick start. Which, by the way, I backed that Kickstarter, so I have a copy of the 7th edition rulebook if you guys want to do a game trying the new rules.
I would like to try the new rules. I was going to pick up the books, you know. Physical.
It's $28 now instead of what it was before, which was $900 to keep people buying it ahead of time. So it's actually a reasonable buy for the first time in my knowledge of it.
I've got the D&D player handbook for 5th edition, so you could feasibly roll up a tiefling if you wanted, a tiefling bard.
Tiefling?
Yeah, those are the ones that look like demons, so like they got horns and everything.
Tieflings.
Yeah.
Well, I do like the idea of being a tiefling. Can I roll one of those up for this game?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
We should play D&D probably at some point. I've got a whole scenario thing because I got the playset, the starter playset, and it like takes you up to 5th level, so it's quite a hefty thing. It's the one that they were playing in the My Brother, My Brother, and also me.
Right. And also their dad.
And also their dad.
We should play other games that aren't Call of Cthulhu too, just to further weaken our brand. We should also talk more about how we're weakening our brand.
My brand!
Like, weaken at Brandy's, right? No?
No.
Oh.
What do you know? This joke didn't go.
Pretty good.
The worst. We should play more GURPS games and then not release them.
I agree.
Never released the GURPS, have we?
We've released the GURPS that were meant to be released.
None of them.
We've released the GURPS that the world is ready for.
Well, it's mostly because the teens episodes, like, they last for 4 hours, and it's a lot to...
And there's like 9 of them?
There's like 9 of them, they last for 4 hours. I don't have the last one, like, so there's not much impetus to, like, start it and then have it not finished. Like, there was with...
I think Adam said once that the last one was a mistake anyways. Something like, he had his papers shuffled around, so we were supposed to go into one room, and we ended up walking into the final boss room instead.
Oh, whoops.
Just because his map was upside down or something. Something like that.
And that's the trouble with maps. Much better than just pretend that the geography does not exist.
And then we had no idea how burst fires on SMGs worked, so we just made like 1,000 rolls and did 1,000 damage in one turn.
Yeah, we killed all of the enemies in a single room with one round of burst.
Yeah, what was it? We thought burst fire meant you could just, you could choose to unload your entire clip in a single turn at any time or something like that.
Oh dear.
It's pretty great. Wow.
This character's got 50 idea.
Oh, so does mine.
Hey, we're just a couple of simpletons.
Well, oh wait, no, I have 55 idea. I have 50 no.
My edu is 70. Sorry, my edu, yeah. I have 70 no, so okay. That's because I have a BA in English.
What can you get with a BA in English?
You can become a greengrocer in Castle Rock, Maine. Well, he was born in Castle Rock, Maine.
Is your character having a backstory? I've been sitting here with my sheet up and haven't even put a name in. For like 30 minutes.
Oh, by the way, when I know you're saying a greengrocer, but I should have said that you should be either a detective or someone who's into books.
Oh, right. My character can't be into books at all. I mean, he could be, but probably wouldn't be.
He's now a librarian. He's now an assistant librarian.
I put literally, the only skills I put points on were martial arts, dodge, and then I filled up fist, grapple, head, and kick as high as I could get each after that.
The fun thing is how little use that will come into play.
I'll punch the books. It's my fault for, well no, it's not my fault that I rolled a character with low int in education, but the highest size I've ever gotten. He's one away from max size.
I actually have two fantastic attributes too. This assistant librarian who got a BA in English, this would be 6 years after he graduated, roundabout. He is strength 17 and appearance 18.
Oh, man. I wish I had strength 17. Hey, you know how you can trade skills within your, like, character sheet?
I don't go for that.
Trade skills within the party?
Could I just get some of those muscles? They're real nice.
I only have 13 strength, but I have 17 size.
So
that also gives me a huge damage bonus.
Yeah, my damage bonus is 1d4, finally. Huzzah!
Yes, Nick. I was 2 points away from having max.
Well, we just got a min-max. I'm going to take my eds down to 2.
You see the musical Avenue Q? That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Oh, is that the one with all the songs, the musical numbers?
It was the one with all the musical numbers.
It was the one where instead of just like talking and having conversations like humans, they just sung a bunch. It was that one.
It was like It was like, when they were talking, they'd say the words, but they'd like elongate the syllables.
Yeah, they all sound like a bunch of, ponces.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm trying to do a bit where I don't know what musicals are.
Trying to do a bit where I don't know things. Just roll with
I played the pit band in a musical once. I don't even know what the plot of the musical was. I never saw it.
I was in the chorus of a thing that had songs in it.
Did you play third trombone?
I can play any
the chorus.
Is that a reference to our town?
No. I played third trombone in the pit band.
Oh, okay.
And because he was bringing up the chorus trying to relate to me, I was bringing up the instrument I played in pit band trying to relate to his chorus.
Oh, okay. I had a line in the actual thing, and it was, there's a body over there.
How I just played a real bad trombone.
76 trombones at the big parade! That's all my grandfather's.
Well, it sure is, this is high energy, if I had to describe.
High energy. Oh, so the game is set in Tokyo?
Wait, what?
Oh, because, yep, I get it.
I didn't pronounce it funny enough for anyone else to get it, but yeah, we can just have a chuckle.
I was forcing that laugh, but... All right, everybody, let's do a fake laugh. Okay, one by one. I'll start. Steven, you're up next. Your turn, bro. No, you have to be convincing. Alright, we'll do it again. You have to be convincing as possible.
Oh, convincing as possible, but still yeah, fake.
Same order. Alright.
That's kind of a cop out. Redo.
Man, I love picking English majors because it's right, I'll
read it. Okay, I'm gonna take a laugh.
On own language.
All right. Oh wait, actually, yeah, good point. Good point. Right. Okay, just say a joke.
Okay. Fresh out jokes. Someone's had bad audio quality this whole time, but I haven't said anything because I know that none of this is staying in.
Is it me?
What do you mean? This is all staying
in. Unless I'm editing.
G-O-L-D, that's how you spell gold.
I spell it G-L-D-O.
I get it. I spell it A-U.
Uh-huh.
Weird. Magic and technology.
Hey, what language?
I don't know, probably C#.
I'm gonna go with COBOL.
Here's a C.
I was in an interview today, and we asked the dude what his least favorite programming language was, and he said COBOL.
Oh, okay. Why do you have such strong opinions on COBOL?
Apparently you can't access the web from COBOL. If you're writing in it, just go fuck yourself, I guess.
Yeah. I would say... my least favorite language.
I don't understand what you're talking about, unless it wasn't Spelly. That is the only reference to programming that I have.
What's SQL, quickly? I need to make some queue
queries. It's, I believe, standard query language. You use it to access database.
There's SQL, and there's MySQL, and then Microsoft has all their own specialized SQL things. And the joke is going to be that Microsoft should call their SQL versions MySQL so that no one could tell it apart from MySQL.
I would be so mad if they did that.
Yeah, I know. I wish more companies were like aggressively dickish with their branding like that.
Microsoft owns Skype, so maybe they'll take on board.
Art literary criticism 50. And then he also learned French and Latin to be romantic. After all, he had to have it to keep picking up the whole busloads of chicks.
Well, she's gotta have it. That's the level of referencing and pointing out that things are similar to things that you can expect. The level of free association that I'm gonna bring to the table every time. Do you see how pretty the Final Fantasy XV stuff is? Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, nope.
Oh. You know they're doing Jurassic World trailer coming out next week? I'm excited. Would you put your brain in a robot body if that robot had been convicted of a crime?
What?
Put it in.
I was just wondering.
Just give me a minute to type, like, on top of my microphone.
Okay.
There we go. So would I put my brain in a robot body if the robot had been convicted of a crime?
Yes. You don't know what the crime is, but the guy says, listen, in the past, this robot had its own artificial intelligence, and it used that intelligence to commit a crime.
Yeah, sure.
You gonna put your brain in the robot body?
Yeah, why not? I'd put my brain in a robot body.
The crime is still... They're still looking for the person who did the crime.
Okay, I'm not sure. Do they know it's a robot?
They strongly suspect. The police are on the case, and you've heard... You don't actually know it. You don't know if it is this robot, but you have heard that there is... a case that's going around where the suspect is a robot.
Well, sure, okay. I have an alibi for whenever it happened that was I was a human at the time. And now I'm a brain in a robot body. They could check that.
It's an unknown surgery. As in, like, it's not... On the record and everything, you're not supposed to be able to do this. This is a highly experimental procedure. You'd be the first person who would ever have had their brain put into
a robot. Well, then it would be a big thing on the news.
No, it's a secret, because it's like with stem cell research and cloning, you're not allowed to do it.
Oh, then robots don't have rights or something? Listen, what's the fiction we're setting this in?
We're setting it in that one episode of Star Trek Voyager where the Doctor makes a holo novel and everyone thinks he's being offensive because... They think his life is pretty great, and the holographic protagonist is carrying around a giant, dumb projector on his back, and all the other characters treat him like shit. Also, my character is...
I don't remember that episode. What episode was that?
I don't remember the name or where it falls. I can tell you it was on late at night, playing on a little TV in my room, but that's about it.
You know, I thought I saw that same episode too, but then... Later, my parents told me I was just sitting there staring at a screen full of static.
You know, it was right about then that all of those dead cats started showing up in my room.
This has been our Candle Cove reboot.
Has it? Is that an actual reference? Or did you just say two words, Candle and Cove?
No, Candle Cove was that spooky, spooky story. It wasn't that spooky, but for what it was, one of those like early big creepy pastas or whatever.
Yeah, they did an RPPR episode where it was a thing.
Yeah, it was written by Chris Straub, that webcomics man.
Well, I can tell you who would have loved Candle Cove if he'd been alive for it. That's Alex Ragdon, assistant librarian in the 1920s.
Wilhelm Conrad Rayleigh.
Occupation skills. He's got 10 points he's got 10 more points in English, 30 more in library use, 15 for listen, 25 for occult. He's got 40 in French, 25 in Latin, and 50 more in literary criticism. He's got 15 in spot hidden. His hobbies are 5 in art, 5 in decoupage, 5 mechanical repair, 5 psychoanalysis, 5 psychology, 5 electrical repair, 5 geology, 5 natural history, photography 5, and 50 in martial arts.
Oh, right.
Because as a person who has these other interests, and is very, very vocal about how amazing he is at all of them, he gets in a lot of fights. And his parents recommended he take up a little bit of Taibo. Well, sometimes how much he's into Taibo gets him opportunities to use his Taibo.
This is how our characters are related, then. I have 75 in martial arts.
We met in Taibo class!
Well, it was going to be pugilism.
No, I'm super down with it, because I was originally putting all my points in fist before I decided that martial arts would be more prance dance. So let's call it artisanal pugilism.
Well, martial arts just means that if you're punching or kicking somebody and you use your martial arts, it just means that if you roll under your martial arts and also you succeed on the punch or kick, you do double damage.
Look, we're in artisanal pugilism. I have 49 points in it and 1 point in fist.
We spend the majority of our time grooming our mustaches.
Yeah. I have down here no mental disorders. I'm going to remove that and put in mustache.
I should have put points on art sculpt mustache.
All right, so where does... what is your character's name, Steven?
Wilhelm Conrad Rayleigh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be Wilhelm?
Sure, Wilhelm.
Are you German? Of German descent?
I don't think Rayleigh's actually German.
Is it like Rayleigh? Or is it Rayleigh?
It's Rayleigh. Like the,
Like, you could call me Ray.
Like the guy Ray. The physicist what did optics.
Oh, Walter Raleigh?
Yeah, Raleigh.
Okay, it's a town in England, and I think it was like the Duke of Raleigh. Raleigh? I guess you pronounce it Raleigh.
Let's put this dog to rest. Both of these dogs. To rest in Will's room.
Yeah. Currently there's just the one dog on the settee, and the other dog was trying to get in, but it's still out there in the corridor.
Gave up, broke out a window. Now, where is this artisanal pugilism class held? Like, what country?
Excuse me, artisanal.
Yes. No. Terrible. Says Alex Ragden. I can't believe you always say that.
I'm just that into artisanal pugilism.
Ugh.
Is someone bumping their microphone?
No, it's my dog having a dream on the settee.
Okay, it may have been.
So, Keeper?
Hello.
Hello!
Are you gonna... Well, if I was you, I would have said something about sorry for keepering you waiting. But...
Alright.
Wilbins is just thinking about his life choices right now.
Here we go. His
mouse hovers over the hang up, delete, Skype friends button.